So our text for this morning's meditation is from Matthew chapter 5, these words, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. So our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, understandably, my wife and I recently were overjoyed with the news that one of our daughters had completed her studies at nursing school and is well on her way to becoming a nurse here in the state of Minnesota. She's worked really hard, our daughter, studying constantly over the last couple of years to make it this far. And yet our daughter has one more hurdle, and that is she must pass her state nursing examinations tomorrow. That's the law. And if she doesn't pass those exams tomorrow, she will not be able to be a nurse. Now, anyone who's pursued some sort of certification, whether it's a career in nursing or teaching or one of the trades like plumbing or anything having to do with electricity, they've gone through such a process. That is, of fulfilling the law by passing an exam or a series of exams to become certified in some way by some certifying agency, can be extremely difficult, even exasperating. For if an exam is failed, the law is not fulfilled, and a career in a chosen field, not a possibility. So often, such requirements can seem to be nothing but obstructive, difficult, and even persecutorial. I mean, who is to say, really, what we should know, what we should do, how we are to be, to function successfully in a career that we want to pursue? For shouldn't just our desire to be in the field be enough? Our interest? Our enthusiasm? Well, no. For the exams given, the testing undergone, the hurdles erected are based upon what those who have worked in the field, those fields for decades, for centuries, even for millennia. Think here of the Hippocratic Oath, have discovered what really needs to be known and done to work as we should in those fields. Seems like common sense, but it's not anymore. For we live in the time dominated by what has been called presentism. That is, that the only perspective that matters is that of the here and now, standing in judgment and condemnation of all ages past. So any requirement, any rule, any law, any structure is seen as a relic, and it's now simply oppressive, preventing us from being how and what we really want to be. We can look at the law of God in just this way. 10 Commandments, ancient laws that restrict, prevent, limit, and make impossible those things that we really want to do. That's how we can look at the law of God. 1st Commandment, no other gods. That's just ignorance of other cultures. 2nd, misusing God's name. That's too academic. 3rd, an insistence on the Sabbath day. That's a ruiner of weekends. 4th, honoring our parents. A Pollyanna-esque understanding of family. 5th, well, if necessary, we will indeed murder. 6th, we should be able to sleep with whomever we want. 7th, why shouldn't we be able to take whatever we want, especially from corporations and governments? 8th, I should be able to say what I want to say. Isn't that what the internet is for? 9th and 10th, the world of desires, they're my own. Yeah, I suppose when we look at the law of God in such a way as a presentist, how can we see it as anything but a list of do's and don'ts that only oppress, they only restrict, they only stifle and limit? And where, by the way, is the carrot, the reward, the benefit of following this law of God that you're talking about? At least when I pass an exam, a series of tests in the world, I get a certificate, a license of some sort, allowing me to pursue the career I wish to pursue. But the law of God, what do I get for trying to follow it? Anything? Yeah. Returning to our daughter. At the same time that she's been working hard to complete this course and that towards a nursing degree, fulfilling the requirements needed, she's taken up with great interest and joy and wonder the craft of quilting. Yes, quilting. And you might say to yourself, well, that's nice, a hobby. No rules, no regulations, no requirements, just pure joy and fun. Yes, pure joy and fun. Quilting, as perfection itself, must be pursued there. For it's not as if she makes her quilts, as she makes her quilts, she can do anything she wants to do. She can't use just any material. She can't use just any thread. She can't use just any stitch setting on her sewing machine. No, in fact, in her quest to learn how to quilt, our daughter has been reading and watching and asking and, in short, doing whatever she should do to learn the laws of quilting. That is what should and must be done in order to make a beautiful quilt, a perfect quilt, with perfectly straight lines, seams, stitches, etc. And you know what? She doesn't mind that pursuit at all. She doesn't mind it. She wants to learn. She wants to understand. She wants to grasp and then do what needs to be done to make a great quilt, to make a beautiful quilt, to make a perfect quilt. It gives her a great sense of joy. Now, what if we looked at the law of God in just that way? That is like a hobbyist gladly pursuing the rules of their hobby in order to succeed. What if we looked at the Ten Commandments as indeed the best way to live, a way of life that we should pursue with great interest and joy, for they really do teach us how to live in the best way we possibly can live. And this is the approach we find in Psalm 119. There we read such amazing statements like, "Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of God. And open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And thy hands have made and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. And forever, O Lord, thy word is firmly fixed in the heavens." So the psalmist, Psalm 119, and then Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in our text for this morning from the Sermon on the Mount, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished." Now here then, the law is presented to us by our Savior, Jesus, as a mirror. A mirror. That is to show us that we cannot fulfill it perfectly and that we need it fulfilled for us. For like the exam that has to be passed to become a nurse or a teacher or an electrician or a plumber, the exam that has to be passed in order for us to live forever, is an exam given by God Himself. Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments. But try as we might, study as hard as we can, get as much help as we're able, we simply cannot do it. We cannot live perfectly according to the law of God. And that being the case, we fail. We fail the course of life. That is unless someone else is able to pass the test for us. And that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. For Jesus was able to live His entire life perfectly according to the law. And what is more, He gives us credit for His passing that test when we believe in Him as our Lord and Savior from ourselves, that is, our inability to fulfill that law. And that happens, that crediting of the passing of the test by Jesus, when we believe in him as our Lord and Savior from sin and death and the devil, and we're baptized into his name. For being born flesh and blood, all that we can be called is man or woman or a human being or a person. That's all we can ever be. But being baptized into Christ, we were baptized into his blood, the blood that was shed for us on the cross, blood for our failing, shed for our failing the exam of life again and again and again and again, and now being covered with the blood of Christ or reborn in the blood of Christ, we can and are called not just man or woman or human beings or people, but we're called what? We're called Christians. Little Christs. Those who live each day the life of the law fulfilled by Christ for us, so that a pursuit of the law in our lives is not as studying for an exam that must be passed, but, and it's taken me a long time to get to this point, but as a hobby to be enjoyed, the pursuit of which brings us joy. Here I'm talking about understanding the law of God as a shape of life that we would dearly love to live each day and so pursue it like we would a favorite hobby, a hobby. Different way to look at it, the law of God? Not really. For here we're talking theologically about the third use of the law, the pedagogical use, the law as teacher. The law is understood by the new man created within us, the new man who can say, "Thy testimonies are my delight. They're my counselors." That's also Psalm 119. Of course, the second use of the law is a theological use, the exam use, the use that demonstrates to us that we fall far short of the requirements needed to pass the exam of life. This second use of the law as mirror, you know, it hits our old Adam. And it hits our old Adam really, really hard. So on the one hand, we have the new man, which would joyously pursue the law, and the old man who's angered by its very existence. That's the battle that goes on every day within us. The battle, the solution of which, now listen up, the solution of which is not simply to rid ourselves of the law or think somehow that the law of God is somehow not in play anymore as the world more and more and more looks like a Dr. Seussian environment with people walking around in all manner of dress, living in all manners of ways, and claiming to be all manners of things. No. Until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law. That means that idolatry will remain idolatry, the rejection of parents and evil, murder in all forms of grave sin, adultery and theft in whatever clever ways that are marketed, still adultery and theft, not telling the truth will remain lying, and coveting the desire to have the things and people that others have, still something to be shunned. Why? Because at the end of the day, the law of God, it reflects the essence of God. And the essence of God is described most briefly and succinctly with one word. And that one word is love. Love. Yes, we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart and soul and mind and our neighbor as ourself. Because God himself is our creator, but even more because the law of God describes what love actually is. And so the law of God describes the best way for us to live. But it's not as if it's easy to understand exactly how our expression of love plays itself out from day to day to day, from moment to moment to moment. Here we must pursue. We must pursue our knowledge of love by studying and contemplating and internalizing the law of God, much like we would pursue knowledge as part of a hobby. My own experience in my attempt to learn machining the past few years has been to proceed with caution every time I'm trying to grasp a new operation, a new tool, a new type of metal with which I would like to work. Everything always seems easy and straightforward initially, but as the project gets going so often, I run into a problem that I can't solve, a problem that takes time to comprehend and then to arrive upon a solution, often which ends up being extremely simple. The turn of a screw, one way or another. increasing a speed, decreasing a feed rate. More times than not, the solution is simple, but I am not aware of it simply because I do not understand what I'm doing in the first place. So love, our love of God, which must be learned. Our love of our neighbor, equally so. And that being the case, knowing we're justified daily in Christ Jesus, our Lord, let's pursue love as described by the law of God, as we would a greater knowledge of a favorite hobby. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father.